Well, today we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to wish a Merry Christmas to every single one of you. And way more than my love, what I want to do today is I want to tell you about the greatest love story of all time. Now, work with me, because the greatest love story of all time may not be what you think it is. We'll start here. The greatest love story of all time is not Romeo and Juliet. The next one may upset a few of you, but I need to say it, and I need to say it boldly. The greatest love story of all time is not Noah and Allie from The Notebook. I know that upsets some of you. Now, I'm a heretic, but I must tell you the truth. The greatest love story of all time is not Jack and Rose from Titanic. Because you have to admit, all those love stories have really sad endings, don't they? I mean, think about it. Romeo and Juliet, they have a miscommunication and they both die tragically. I'm not even going to say out loud how they died, because it's Christmas. And I don't want to drop that thought in your mind on Christmas week, right? And then there's Noah and Allie from The Notebook. They endured years of separation and memory loss. And then what happened at the end of the movie? They died in each other's arms. Now, some of you are upset because I just gave away the end of the movie. It's a 20-year-old movie. If you haven't seen it by now, you need to know how it ends. And there is then, of course, there's Jack and Rose, right? Hanging on a door in a freezing ocean. And Rose watches Jack die. Now, if you look carefully, there was room on that door, right? There was room on the door. I mean, just let the guy on the door, right? Just let him on the door. He could have lived. Those are not the greatest love stories of all time. In fact, what I want to say to you today is the greatest love story of all time doesn't start with Once Upon a Time. But the greatest love story of all time starts with For God So Loved the World. That's how the greatest love story of all time starts. And for those of you who might say, yeah, but the main character of that story dies too. Jesus. Yeah, he did die. But 3 days later, when the stone was rolled away, the tomb was empty, because Jesus was raised from the dead. And the greatest love story of all time doesn't end in death, but this is about a love that conquers death. And that may be the Easter story, so let's back up and make sure that we stay with Christmas. We are in a Christmas message series called The Arrival. And for the last few weeks, we've been looking at Advent, an historic, very meaningful Christian tradition that dates all the way back to the 4th century, when believers would prepare their hearts with fasting and with prayer to looking forward to what we're doing right now, to celebrate the birth of our Savior. And each week of Advent has a theme, and we've talked about those four themes. The first week, we lit the candle of hope. The second week, we lit the candle of peace. Last week, we lit the candle of joy. And today, we're going to light the love candle to celebrate the greatest love story of all time. Christmas is a love story. And it's not just a traditional love story between a man and a woman, but Christmas is a love story about a father and a son. It's amazing to recognize that 700 years before the birth of Christ, Isaiah prophesied in what's now known as the Messianic prophecy. And Isaiah prophesied this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Imagine this. For all eternity, before the world existed, before time existed, before anything existed, there was a father and a son. And the heavenly Father loved the Son more than any father ever loved any child. And the Son loves his Father more than any child ever loved a parent, because they had an intimacy and an uninterrupted perfect oneness for all eternity. In fact, Jesus even said, he said, "I am the Father, we are one." Then came the very first Christmas, when the Father, he said goodbye and sent his Son from heaven to earth. And Paul told us this in Galatians 4:4, "But when the set time had fully come," what did God do? God sent his Son. If you have kids, you know at some point what it's like to send them out. Like when they become preschoolers, right? What do? First day of school. You pack their Bluey lunchbox, right? Or their Spider-Man lunchbox. And you pack it with extra love. You put a sandwich in there, and you put their favorite chips in there, and you put a little juice box. And then you take them out on the porch. And what do? You take 47 pictures of your little child, your little honey bunches, right? Your the one you're about to send off to school. And then you post it online so we can say how cute your kid is. Then you drive your kid to school. You send them off on the first day of school. And you sit in the car and you bawl your eyes out. You cry like crazy because you know what it's like to be a parent to send off a child. Or you have a child that's learned to drive, and you still have your salvation. That's a good thing, okay? You may not be a person of prayer, but when they turn 16 and drive off, baby, you're speaking in tongues the first time they go off, right? You're praying like crazy because you know what it's like as a parent to send off a child. Or, of course, there's college. They go off to college. Or they get married. You know how hard it is to say goodbye. Well, it was indescribably more intimate and intense when God the Father sent Jesus, his Son, from heaven to earth. They had never separated before. And that's why Christmas is a love story about a father and a son. But it's not just a love story about a father and a son. Christmas is also a love story about a mother and a son. It's about a mother and a son. In fact, an angel of the Lord said this about Mary. The angel said, Mary will give birth. What? The mom will give birth to a son. And you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins. Christmas is a love story about a mother and a son. And how many of you know that moms and dads may love equally, but they love differently, right? You know what I'm talking about. Mom's love is different than a father's love. A mom's love's more nurturing and more comforting. Because if a kid gets hurt and they come running to me, what am I going to say? rub some dirt on it, kid. You know, walk it off. That's what a dad says, you know, something like that. They come running to mom, and she's going to say, oh, you got a boo-boo. Oh, did that mean playground give you a boo-boo? I'll take care of that mean old playground. Come here and let me kiss your boo-boo. Because a mother's love is a different way of loving, equal but different. And so it's really hard to imagine a little teenage girl named Mary who finds out she's going to be a mom when an angel of the Lord says, you're highly favored and the Lord is with you. And you're going to conceive and give birth to a son who's going to be named Jesus, because he came to save people from their sins. And she's got to go and tell Joseph, her fiance, hey, I got something to tell you. You better sit down. I'm pregnant. But I promise you, it's the Holy Ghost, right? In a small town, people are talking, and she's pregnant before they're married. You know the story. They travel 90 miles on the back of a donkey. Come on, she's pregnant all the way to Bethlehem. She's miserable, like her feet are swollen. She's craving flaming hot Cheetos. She's got to go to the bathroom every quarter of a mile from and a bush. And they get to Bethlehem. And there's no rooms anywhere. And so she gives birth to her baby in a barn. Then to make things even worse, 8 days later, she hadn't gotten any sleep. Joseph hadn't done anything right. You say, is that in the Bible? It's not in the Bible, but it's true. As long as I'm here, because no man has ever gotten it right in the first month after his wife gives birth to a son. I'm here to testify to that truth in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right? And this weird guy comes forward. His name is Simeon. And he does this prophecy. And the prophecy is this. He says, this child of yours has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose your son Jesus. And the prophet says to the mom, and a sword will pierce your very soul. This random guy shows up and prophesies, Mary, mom of Jesus, your son, he was born to die. No mom ever wants to hear, hey, the son you gave birth to, your child, your baby, the son you love is going to suffer and die. And you're going to watch it. And the pain is going to crush you. This is a love story. The greatest love story of all time. About a mother and a son. And her son wasn't born to grow up and go to college and get married and give her grandbabies. No. Mary's son was the Lamb of God, who was born to suffer and die for our sins. And so today I tell you the greatest love story of all time. And it's not just the love of a father and a son, and not just a mother and a son, but Christmas is a love story about the Son and us. It's a love story about the Son and you. And John said it this way in John 3:16. He said this, for God so loved every single one of you. He loved us. He loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son. Why did he do it? Because of his love, that whatsoever, whosoever believes in Jesus would not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is how much God loves you. this is the greatest love story of all time. And this love story is personal. It's personal to us. It should be personal to you. It was certainly personal to John. I mean, John, the guy who wrote John 3:16, this dude needed love. He had a brother named James. They're two of the 12 disciples. What I love about these guys is they were not most likely to be chosen to be disciples in their graduating class. These guys were wild. They were so wild that Jesus gave them a nickname. Now, as a side note, I just think it's cool that Jesus gave nicknames. I like that. Jesus called these guys, you know what he called them? He called these brothers, Mark 3 says, Jesus nicknamed them sons of thunder. You know you're not a likely disciple when the Son of God calls you a son of thunder. Why did he call him this? Well, I'll give you one example to show you just how wild they were. Whenever Jesus wasn't welcomed in a town, John said this. He said, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? Come on, Jesus. Let's make them crispy critters for not accepting you in their town. Jesus is like, calm down, boys. Calm down, John. You're like a 10. Dial it back a little, buddy. Dial it back, son of thunder. Like Thunderman was not the most likely to be chosen as a disciple. Yet the Son loved John. The Son loved him so much that it literally changed his identity. You see, after experiencing the love of the Son, John was no longer John the Son of Thunder. He wasn't John the Hothead. He wasn't John the Troublemaker. He wasn't John the one who led everybody down. No, he got a new name. He was the one that Jesus loved. He was the one that Jesus loved because of the love the Son had for John. It was personal. He was the one that Jesus loved. He called himself that again and again, over and over and over and over. Now, for the record, I'm not a fan of anybody speaking of themselves in third person. That's what he did. He spoke of himself in third person. Just so you know, Stephen doesn't like when people talk in third person. It's a little joke there. But five different times in the Gospel of John, John talked about himself in third person, calling himself the one that Jesus loved. Let me just tell you very, very quickly. John 13:23. He said he was the disciple whom Jesus loved. John 19:26. He said again, he is the disciple whom Jesus loved. John 20:2. He said he was the one that Jesus loved. John 21:7. In case you didn't know, he's the disciple whom Jesus loved. John 21:20. One more time, I am the disciple that Jesus loved. For John, the love of the Son was personal. It was personal. And that's why Christmas is a love story about a father and a son, and a mother and a son who loves broken people like you and like me. And the greatest love story of all time. But I want you to hear, every single one of you, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this. I want you to feel it. I want you to believe it. The greatest love story of all time is that Jesus loves you. It's the greatest love story of all time, that Jesus loves you. You say, well, you don't know my story. You don't know about my thoughts or what I've said or who I've hurt. Right. And you don't know that about me either. Which is probably a good thing because you'd go to another church, okay? No matter what's happened in your life, the greatest love through all time is that Jesus loves you. And if you don't believe me, look at who else Jesus loved. Because Scripture teaches us that Jesus loved this one lady who was looking for love in all the wrong places. There's a lady at a well who wanted to find love and acceptance and meaning and value in the arms of another man, but man after man after man broke her heart, let her down, and crushed her. And Jesus came up to her and said, "You're thirsty for something. You're looking for something. You're looking for something that will never satisfy. But I will give you living water. Once you taste of what I offer you, I will show you my love and you will never thirst again." And he loved a woman that society would have rejected. And Jesus loved a guy named Peter. And Peter liked to talk about himself. He was the guy that would always be faithful to Jesus, would always have Jesus' back. And when all those other loser disciples wouldn't be there, he would be there until he had to be, and then he wasn't. Three different times Peter denied knowing Jesus. And after the rejection, Jesus loved him and said, "If you still love me, I'll reinstate you to ministry. If you love me, I do love you. Go feed my sheep." And Jesus loved a woman caught in the very act of adultery, a crime at that time punishable by death. And a group of religious, self-righteous people stood around and said, "Stone her, stone her." And Jesus knelt down in the sand and he started writing something. We don't know what he wrote, but we know that one by one, the religious guys started walking off. Maybe he wrote their sins, we don't know. But he looked on and he said to the lady, he said, "Where are your accusers?" And she said that there are none. And he looked at her with love and forgiveness and grace in his heart. And then he said, "Then neither do I condemn you. Go your way and don't sin anymore." And Jesus loved an evil guy, a swindler, a tax collector named Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was spiritually curious, maybe like some of you, and started looking on Jesus. And Jesus said, "Hey, don't just look on from that tree. Why don't I come over to your house?" He invited him to the guy's house, and he sat down with him. And he loved him in such a way that Zacchaeus, his whole life was changed over dinner. Instead, "If I've wronged anybody, I'm going to give him back four times. I'm going to devote the rest of my life to serving the one who loved me." Jesus loved Zacchaeus, and Jesus loved me. It's personal. He loves me and he loves you. Not like past, like now, this very moment. He is loving you right now. And the greatest love story of all time is not over. This is about a love that has come and is about a love that's coming again. And when he comes back, he's not coming as a baby in a manger, but he's coming as a king on a horse, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. friends. I came to tell you the greatest love story of all time about a God who loves you. Where you are, as you are, even though you don't deserve it. And this is a love that doesn't end in death. But this is a love that conquers death. So today I declare to you the greatest love story of all time. And people ask all the time, and it's a good question, what's this season all about? I mean, is it like happy holidays or Merry Christmas? Oh, listen, it's not just Merry Christmas. It's like Merry Christmas, like Christ, Christ. The center of the candles is the Christ candle. Who is Jesus? Jesus is our hope. Hope has a name. Jesus is our peace. It's a perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. Jesus is our joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Jesus is the love above all. Christ, born of a virgin, born to die, who is the King of all kings, the name above. There's something about his name. He's a love that's come, and he's a love that's coming again. What's Christmas all about? What's the season all about? Well, you might have a little button that tells you. What does the button say? What's the reason for the season? Jesus is the reason for the season. You might have a t-shirt that says, what's the reason? Jesus is the reason for, you know, you might have a coffee mug. Christmas. Bring it out at Christmas time and it says, Jesus is the reason for the season. Yes, but that's not the only reason. You see, if you go deeper, there is a deeper reason for the season. What is the reason for the season? The reason is you. You are the reason Jesus came. You. For God so loved you that he sent his one and only Son. You are the one that Jesus loves. This is what John said. The same John that was John, the son of thunder, who became the one that Jesus loved. This is what he said. This is real love. This is real love. You want to know what real love is? You want to know the greatest love story of all time? This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. That is the greatest love story of all time. That is God's love for you. Christmas is all about the love of a father and a son, and the love of a mother and a son, and the love of God's Son for you. Why? Because you, no matter what you've done, no matter how broken you feel, no matter how far you might feel from God, you are the one Jesus loves. So today, we celebrate the birth of a king, a lamb, a baby, born to die so he could be risen again, because that's how much the Father loves you.